Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, how's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple, with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options, so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's Thursday. I don't know what the show's called. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but I know I got Ant next to me, so everything is all right. Ant, man, how we doing, brother?
We're doing great. You know, anytime you come off a win, it just makes things a little bit easier. And then anytime you start getting into the film and the defense impresses like it did, it makes you feel really good. So I'm psyched, I'm pumped, and I'm ready to get the 49ers their first win in Minnesota in 32 years.
It's been a long time. It's been a really long time. So, like, last year, you know, we went to Minnesota last year, and it was Monday Night Football, and I think it was the greatest Kirk Cousins primetime game of all time. It's the greatest. Now, that's not a great list of games to pick from, but that dude, he handled his business. He's gone now, and we got good old Sam D. We got Hansel. We got the Lego Man. There's lots of different names that you could give. Ginger Jesus, whatever you want to call Sam Darnold. He's a pretty boy from USC. It's going to be fun. You know, obviously, number two quarterback last year for us. Now he steps up there. They named him starter before J.J. McCarthy got hurt. Like, they have a lot of faith in him. And he played great week one. The top two EPA per play quarterbacks are Brock Purdy 1, Sam Darnold 2. We're going to see who the best is.
Yeah. I mean, it was the Giants defense too. I mean, I love Sam Darnold. I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for him, but he's going to see a real defense. And if he comes out and he executes, and Kevin O'Connell keeps the 49ers guessing a little bit, then yeah, Darnold can have success, but he needs help. And, you know, we don't even know if he's going to have Jordan Addison. He's still missing TJ Hockenson. Those are big potential losses for that offense. Aaron Jones is going to help a lot. I mean, that run game, but I don't know. I think this is going to be a little bit tougher for Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings, but for whatever reason, Minnesota is a house of horrors for the 49ers, and they got to figure this thing out. When I ranked the toughest games compared to the easiest games, I had Minnesota way up there, and a lot of people were like, why? This is why. So for whatever reason, you've got to make sure you can win in Minnesota, and I'm thinking Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers can get this done and finally get this behind us. Because Steve Young and Amp Lee aren't walking through that door to get the big win.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a big deal. I love, you know, another big deal. Look at this, Paul Hope. They got a London watch party going. I know Paul's hyped. I'm so excited, man. Wish I could be there with you, brother. But I'm excited to see the faithful come out and show out. That is just huge. Anytime the community gets together, and I'll put this out there, if you are a part of a chapter or a community, you're trying to find a community, and wherever you are, please reach out to me, 49ersrushpodcast @gmail.com. I will do my best to use whatever platform I have to get the community together in any way. So if you're a chapter hosting an event and you want promotion, I ain't asking for money. That ain't what I'm about. I just want to promote community. And so, you know, obviously with the Rush road trips and everything we do, we always try to bridge and partner with those local communities. But there's no reason to watch 49ers football alone. I don't give a damn where you are. We got the greatest fan base, period. And Paul, man, I'm so excited for you guys. Say what's up to all the buddies out there. Love the UK faithful. Look at Colin coming in, #UK as well. I love it. So here's what we got today. We are going to be talking about some new developments for the 49ers that we kind of learned in week one, some trends. Maybe we could answer some of those questions as well. And look, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, tomorrow you guys need to check out 49ers Cutback, wherever it is you watch and or listen. And if you already subscribed, great job. You're one of the good ones. Tomorrow he's got the Madden simulation, which is going to be a blast. Saturday he's going to preview the game over on his channel. And then right after the 49ers game, you got the post game. How you feeling about that Madden simulation, Ant, on tomorrow?
They're always a lot of fun, you know, and it's great because both fan bases usually check them out. And there's the realistic mixed with the unrealistic, and that's what makes it so fun. Last week, the game ended with the 49ers kneeling, then running the football, then kneeling, then kicking a field goal. No sense. But this is what happens, and it's eerily close to the final score. It came really close last week, and so for whatever reason, it works out, but it's always a lot of fun.
It's Skynet. That's what it is. Skynet went live, and so that's what it is. That's what it is. What's up, Jax? She says, hey, Faithful, they went in for our birthday. That's right. Jax and my birthday this weekend. Therefore, the 49ers cannot deny us. We are getting that dub. That's what's going to take place. And yeah, you know, there's a lot to it, which I'm excited about. And one of our first topics that I want to jump into, and oh, by the way, we are giving away two tickets to the 49ers Rams week three matchup later in the show. We'll do this about halfway through. So if you're watching for that, we haven't done that yet. We'll be announcing that. It's too late to enter. So that time has passed, but anyway, we'll be giving those tickets away later. I want to talk about Nick Bosa. I continue to, it doesn't matter the game. I get a lot of emails and DMs that say, where's Nick Bosa? And I'm like, he's out there stopping the run and getting all the pass pro attention on passing plays. Like, he's doing his job so well. Then I watch the tape and I'm like, golly, Nick Bosa is amazing. He's so consistently great. It covers up, you know, I feel like Fred Warner and Nick Bosa cover up the ugliness and mistakes of so many players on our defense, especially in the run game. But Bosa played 94% of snaps. 94. Do you think that this is kind of the new trend, Ant, for the 49ers defensive line and Bosa, that he just plays almost every single snap, kind of like Max Crosby, as opposed to that old rotation where Bosa would basically come off the field every third series? What are the pros and cons of this new approach where Bosa's just out there all the time? Is that sustainable, and is that better for the 49ers defense?
Well, I think the pro is you always have Nick Bosa to account for if you're an opposing offense, which means you're going to give less attention other places, which helps Javon Hargrave, and it helps whoever else is out there. Do I think it's sustainable? I don't really like Nick Bosa being out there for all those snaps. I'd like to see a little bit more of a rotation. Mm. I could see certain games because maybe it's close or you need a certain matchup where you play Nick Bosa more. And if this was playoffs, yeah, play him every single down. As long as he's able to finish in the fourth quarter, it doesn't really matter. But I think this is a Etor Gross Matos problem. You thought you were going to have Gross Matos. You were going to have a solid rotation of defensive ends. And I think with him not being there, Nick Bosa was picking up the slack in this football game and making sure the 49ers could win. The tackles they were going against were pretty good. You know, Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith, they're solid veteran guys who understand how to play against really good defensive ends. So Floyd and Bosa being out there was significant. Now, I know Floyd had took 16 snaps off, you know, compared to the full defense. So he got breaks. They didn't give the same breaks to Bosa. I'm thinking we're probably going to see more and more rotation, the more comfortable they get with Robert Beal Jr., with Sam Okwuonu. And when Etor Gross Matos comes back, that's when I think we'll see even more rotation with Bosa, because they'll feel comfortable with Floyd and they'll feel comfortable with Gross Matos.
Yeah. That, and again, it looks like Utera's not playing again this week. I was pretty pleased with Sam Okwuonu. I think he gets elevated again this week. He had that awesome goal line stop, and then he had the fourth down stop as well. Like, it was like, oh, I see Sam Okwuonu, like, getting out there making some plays. Robert Beal, not bad in the run game. I'm just like, okay, we're not the Raiders. We play more than 17 games a year. We play 20. Max Crosby can play 17 games. That dude's an Iron Man. You got to tip my hat to him. He's amazing. I'm just like, man, like, my biggest problem was we're up three scores in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left, and Nick Bosa's still out there. Almost got a sack, actually, which is why he was out there. He's fighting for all that. And I love the competitive nature, but I'm just like, man, this has been a Shanahan complaint by so many fans. Why are all of our starters still out there? The Jets pulled Aaron Rodgers. They're like, why don't we get some of these young pups more snaps? So, and as a coach, when you were coaching back in the day and you're in a game, the game's out of hand, would you always get your young pups in, or would you keep your studs out there?
No, I like getting my guys out for the most part. I think what the 49ers were trying to do was get their starters a little look at 2-minute offense. They didn't play in the preseason, so I think they're taking a look at 2-minute offense and just getting these guys comfortable with it, because at some point it's going to mean something, right? I think they wanted Aaron Rodgers out there so they could get the full feel, but I think that's what they were doing. And sometimes you got to practice in games, and I know I had to do that a few times where I'm like, hey, I haven't had any looks, or we're blowing a team out. I got to leave my starters in for just a little bit longer, even though I don't want to. But yeah, you want to get your guys in, and I think moving forward, you get to the same situation, the 49ers will go with the young guys. I just think it was a chance to look at that 2-minute defense.
There we go. There we go. And man, I got to say this. Look at this. Just since we started talking a little bit about like, you know, what's going on and all that stuff with, you know, getting people together. Rob D says, hey, where's the watch party at? I got a friend who's in London. That's a good friend, Rob. And Paul's, yeah, you guys, y'all sort that out. I freaking love that. And we also got a shout out right here. What's up, Big Daddy Niners? He says, hello, John. 925 Niner Empire will be at Tailgaters in Antioch on October 20th. Niners and Chiefs. I freaking love that, man. It, like, whoo, whoo. Get it going, baby. So, yeah, we will never miss an opportunity to get people together. That's what's up. So, all right, we're going to transition now. We need y'all's help. We've gotten a lot of recommendations for names for, you know, people using our names, Chapman and Ant and Rush and Cutback and all that stuff. We've got some good names. Devin, my good friend, says, by the way, it's Rushback. I ain't mad at that. We've gotten the Niners Mantle, right? Chapman and then Ant Mantle. Okay, I'm cool with that. Rushback. Melissa had that one as well. Devin, Ant and the Man from my friend Robert Bruce. I kind of have a hard time saying the Man about myself, but that's okay. But Ant brought up a good one. What about like coaches meeting? And then I was like, okay, the coach approach, which I hated that I said it, but it's what it is. Something with the coaches say. So we're still workshopping it. Let us know. Emails, DMs, all that stuff. Reach out to Ant or myself. We got to figure this out because we're doing this every Thursday all year. Oh, Papa says coaches corner. I like that. I like these. I kind of like the coaches little whatever. I feel like that's what makes us different. You know what I mean?
Right.
We have yelled at kids far more than most people that do 49er shows. maybe I'm wrong.
Facts.
It's what it is. Ooh, I like the cutting room. That one's good. I like these. Keep them coming, guys. Keep them coming. So, all right, let's do this. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Right now, Caleb Williams, all you have to do is pick over or under Caleb Williams 1 passing yard every week in Sam Tipper. That's it. Every single week. And so for right now, you can combine that again, 2 or 6 of these, you know, things that you pick more or less. Christian McCaffrey's at 88.5 rush yards week 1. So you pair that with, you say he's going to rush for over that. You do more there. You do more on Caleb Williams 1 pass yard. Bet $20, you win $60 on that. It's so simple right now. So download the Prize Pick app today. Use code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly when you play on $5. That's code 49ers on Prize Picks for $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't have to win. As soon as you play $5, you get $50 back. You don't even need to win. So it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Have you ever tried to explain football to a little kid? It's near impossible with all the rules, all the regulations, and it's just confusing. I remember the first time I coached my son's little league team whenever he was 5 years old, I got gray hairs immediately. So, I know many of you guys have young kids or grandkids, nieces, nephews, it doesn't matter, that you want to share your football experience with. Well, Future Fans is a brand that helps little kids become big football fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. And the way Future Fans teaches, it's so unique and effective. They introduce the concepts of the sport in a way that the kid will understand. Think of a beanbag toss game for teaching first downs. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's genius and it works. You go read the reviews, you'll see for yourself. So if you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. It's only $49.99, and if you use our code RUSHRUSH at futurefans.com to get 10% off, unlock a lifetime of memories with your kid in your life starting now. Trust me, it'd be worth it.
Men, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys. How's my hair look? But if you're experiencing hair loss, you may not be so confident when you step outside your door. It's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. No man wants to lose his hair, but for men, it's actually quite common. And now with Hims, the solution is simple. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who got their flow back. Men, real talk. The only thing worse than losing your hair is waiting forever for it to grow back. That's why you need Hims, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatment options so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. So if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Let's transition now and let's go to O-line. Anytime I talk to Ant, I've got to bring some offensive line questions. He's the guru. Banks played okay. He wasn't great. He definitely wasn't bad. I don't think that he was back to his 2023 pre-injury self, but it was good. It was way better than what we saw down the postseason stretch. Like, I like the way that Banks played. But then he had the calf issue. Then you got Spencer Burford, who went back to the left side where he's used to playing at UTSA, fighting Roadrunners, baby. He looked better than Banks. First off, would you agree with that? It says he only played 16 snaps, small sample size. How did you assess Burford's play whenever he came in late in the game?
I think it was fantastic. I think for the most part, people didn't even notice. And that's a good sign. If you don't notice somebody's in there, it means they're not making mistakes. And I thought Burford did a really good job. And then, of course, you know, when he's coming on that trap and he absolutely destroys Jermaine Johnson and gets everyone's attention, those are the wow plays that Spencer Burford can have for your team. But I thought it was consistency. He looked good. He was moving good laterally. Technique-wise, he looked good. I was happy with Spencer Burford. And you're right about Aaron Banks. It's not back to that early season form of last season. I think he's somewhere in the middle. And with a contusion on his calf, I'm concerned about how well he's going to move laterally. And lateral quickness is the Aaron Banks bugaboo. When he goes against defensive tackles that move good, that's when he has problems. He can anchor. Great. You want to bull rush Aaron Banks? Please do that.
Yeah.
That's great for us. But when it comes to a lateral quickness is not the answer. Burford's a little bit different. He's better when it comes to lateral quickness, has less of an anchor than Aaron Banks, but still usually sufficient. I thought overall, I thought both those guys played pretty good. I think if Banks is healthy, I'm okay with Banks. If Banks not healthy, I want Spencer Burford out there. And this isn't a crazy thought, considering this is probably going to be the interior guards lineup next year with Spencer Burford and with Dominic Pooney. And why not? You know, why not? Burford is good enough to start a lot of games over the last 2 years. I think he's good enough to fill in for Aaron Banks, and I won't lose any sleep about it. I'll feel pretty confident about Burford against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I think so as well. Like, I like Banks, and I think he should start if he's healthy. But if he's 95%, I don't want that. And so we're not at the point now. And even the depth behind them, with whether that's Ben Bartsch, who was a healthy scratch last week, Nick Sakell, like, you've got guys that you can put there. Not too concerned about the depth at that position. I mean, we literally healthy scratched a guy last week. So, and again, you look at it, like, they both played well. Spencer Burford had 16 snaps, 70.4 grade PFF. Aaron Banks played 56 snaps, 66.2 grade. The biggest difference was what Spencer Burford did in the run game. And we've heard Chris Forster talk about this. Like, his ceiling is higher than any other guard on the team. It's just the consistency factor, which we only saw for 16 snaps. That's always been the problem with Spencer Burford. He'll have 12 good plays, and then one or two of those just, like, destructive plays where goes the wrong way or gets steamrolled, whatever. But, man, he had a 79.3 pass blocking grade versus Banks' 57.8. Like, that was the discrepancy. And he even had a better run game. 16 snaps, I understand it. But he just looked different on the left. And Ant, you know as well as I do, the move from left tackle to left guard is way easier than moving left guard to right guard. For some players, they're Derek Zoolander. You just can't hang a Louis. Like, it's just not out there.
Yeah, it's tough because a lot of people don't realize that now you're playing with the different foot. You're playing with different hand technique. So it changes going from left to right and just – the way that you're going to approach your normal drop and your normal protection looks, it's different. You get some guys that just can't play on the left or just can't play on the right. For whatever reason, that side of the brain just doesn't operate. But you've seen Spencer Burford, and he looked comfortable. You know, and I know he told Jordan Elliott, who does great work, Splash Cousin, that it felt neutral to him. So, I mean, the thing is, it didn't seem like it was a real problem. We haven't seen Burford practice on the left side at all for the 49ers yet. He stepped in and had no problems. I think you're right. I think this is a comfortable thing for him, the way he did it at UTSA. Now he just steps right back into it. He's been playing guard. He understands this scheme, I think, a lot more than he did a couple years ago. And I think he looked comfortable. And that's the key. If you look comfortable as an offensive lineman, it's going to be easy for you to handle it. And I thought his technique stayed on point. And that's always one of the things I worry about when all of a sudden you change a dominant foot or a dominant hand that you're going to use for the most part when blocking.
There you go. I always used to equate it to this. Like, imagine you're not a basketball player, and then somebody asks you to go make a left-handed layup without practicing, and you're just like, wait a second, and you, like, look like a robot. Like, you're just like, this hand, this foot, all right. Like, that's what it just changes everything. Now, some people could do it with ease, and the athleticism of Burford's been there, and a lot of people still think that he should be playing tackle. But, again, I'm going to constantly say this, and I want to get verification from Coach over here. I really thought that Colton McKivitz had a really positive game, especially in the run game. That dude was dominant almost in the run game. Did have 2 to 3 very bad plays. But overall, how would you assess Colton McKivitz? Because I thought he played really, really well. And if he played that good every game the rest of the season, I'd sign up for that right now.
Oh, yeah. I put him on my stock up 49ers. I thought he was one of the, you know, the top five stock up guys. He played really good. His run blocking was phenomenal. For the most part, he held up when it came to his pass protection. I mean, that always helps when you have a great running game going. When you get that going, that makes protections a lot easier. But it wasn't like they were telling Brock Purdy, hey, get rid of the football in 2.5 seconds. Mm-hmm. They were letting plays develop down the field, and these guys were having to hold up. They did the occasional check. They did the occasional help with George Kittle, and those things are great. But I thought overall, Colton McKivitz looked really good, and it's promising moving forward. The one problem for him is always when he goes against someone that's extremely powerful or someone that has a combination of strength and speed. I thought that his problem with Quinnen Williams was, I think he accounted too much for Quinnen Williams' speed and not enough for his power. And so he got kind of out on his skis a little bit. Quinnen Williams worked inside. I think he could have stayed inside. You got to have that lean when you're blocking and kick sliding out there. And I think he lost it on that one. So overall, a couple technique things, but McKivitz is going to McKivitz. But I thought he played really well in this game. And hey, everyone who was saying we need a right tackle, maybe we got a right tackle that's serviceable moving forward and can do a good job for this 49ers offense.
It would be nice. And I think a lot of it had to do, shout out to my man, Big Papa. He's commenting on both channels. That's how much I love this dude. That's the way to support, man. And if you haven't followed the 49ers cutback yet, you better go do so or else I'm going to be mad at you. Now, Big Papa says this, Pooney was picking up two blockers, moving to the most dangerous rusher, loved his vision and ability. I counted three separate times that Pooney was engaged with not one, but two defenders at the exact same time. Not like a combo block where he like blocked one and moved to two, which he did that as well. But literally three times where he has two guys that he is defending by himself. By the way, two of those times, Jake Brindle is turned around watching as if John Chapman was there holding a camera, taking a picture. So you got a little bit of positive. Pooney was amazing. Absolutely incredible. Jake Brindle, the yin and the yang. Ants, make the O-line make sense with that right guard center position.
Yeah, for Jake Brindle, he does too many lookout blocks. You know, the lookout, here he comes. Not a huge fan of some of the play of Jake Brindle. I love the speed. I love the athleticism where he can normally get to the second level and make initial contact. We know he struggles to hold on to those blocks. And I think that with Brindle, everyone now is picking him up. The left guard, the right guard, you know, everyone's trying to help this guy play really well. Now, some of the times it's tough on him. There are some times where he's supposed to get after a blocker at the second level, and it's a real reach for him to be able to get there. I think his problem is sometimes when he can't get there, he doesn't just stick with it. We've seen Dominic Pooney, who's a rookie in the preseason. He can't get to the linebacker. He runs with them when the running back can cut back. Then he's sitting there waiting to block him. That's the proper technique. Jake Brindle doesn't do that a lot of times. So there's some work that needs to happen. But now I want to focus on Pooney a little bit, who was absolutely fantastic again. Is it perfect? No. But you're seeing a guy that just understands how to play offensive line. He's got a really good anchor. You'll see him start moving back against Quinnen Williams, and then all of a sudden, boom, he just anchors down and he stops. That is phenomenal, and you don't see that a lot from interior offensive linemen. He can handle it. His second-level blocks, great. His combo blocks helping Jake Brindle get control of someone, phenomenal. He was on point, and we're only going to see him get better because he's getting used to real NFL strength, real NFL speed, and the closer he acclimates, the better it's going to be. The good news, the technique is good, really good. I think Chris Foerster has got him to a point where he's going to play good, and now I'm starting to think that Dominic Pooney has an outside chance if he can stack upon what he did to be a Pro Bowler in his rookie season. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Now, I don't know if people saw this, but I'm a betting guy. The 49ers line just dropped from -6 Vikings to -5. I don't know why the adjustment took place, but if you're going to bet this year, make sure you check this out with my book. You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out. Trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IP Vanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Allo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, Ant, it's time to do some business. We are giving away two tickets to the 49ers at Rams with a pink tailgate parking pass. Shout out to everybody that supported. All the proceeds of this go to my buddy, Gabe, his son, his two-year-old son, got diagnosed with leukemia, and so that's why we're doing this, just trying to raise some funds there. Want to say thank you to everybody that participated. We'll do some more ticket giveaways throughout this year, but I'm shuffling all these names. If you entered, you know, multiple times, I just want to make sure that you see, like, those names are in there. We're just shuffling. So here we go. One more shuffle. Let's roll it. Hopefully everybody can see this. And congratulations. Sorry to the ones that don't win, but it's going to a good cause. And our winner, who bought a lot of tickets, Miguel Angel Gomez. Congratulations, my friend. You're going to be week three, Levi South, down at SoFi. We will be in contact. We'll get you those tickets. Absolutely love it. One of my favorite things is just giving stuff away like that. So anyway, that's where that is. I'll be in contact with him. I want to talk about this because Alan's been on this pretty consistently. Thank you, Alan. He says, we will focus on getting back acclimated. That's the most important development we need, especially talking about Brandon Ayuk. He didn't play a lot of snaps. Obviously had the two drops. What are your thoughts on the change or the developments from Brandon Ayuk week one to week two against the Vikings?
Well, I think after listening to what he had to say in the locker room this week, he was, just like I thought, a little detached. He wasn't quite the normal Brandon Ayuk. You didn't see, you know, him as fired up and involved mentally. I think he's trying to find his way back in. And sometimes that's a problem when you join in late. Everyone else is at a different point in their development than you are. And so I think Ayuk's trying to get that done. I think him not being a major focal point of the game plan was probably part of that. And the fact he was afraid to look at the film because he thought he played that bad, I think that kind of got in his head. He thought he was playing bad during that game. I think we're going to see a huge step forward from Brandon Ayuk this week. I think we'll see a couple extra targets. They don't have Sauce Gardner to be able to cover him, so he's going to have some matchups that are more favorable. And I just think he's going to get more involved as he gets more comfortable being back out there with the guys. I think it'll be a full week of practice for him, and he'll feel a lot more confident. So I'm looking to see Ayuk, just like you said, get more acclimated and re-acclimated to the 49ers offense. I think he'll play a little bit more snaps, you know, probably 10 extra snaps this week, get a couple extra more targets. And once he gets in the end zone, I think everything's going to click back in, and we'll start seeing the Brandon Ayuk we're used to.
Man, it'd be refreshing because you're going to need it this week because you know the blitzes are coming. Brian Flores defense, Brock Purdy's favorite thing to do in the world. Against the blitz, identify man coverage, throw the out route. He prefers to do that to BA, and then he prefers to do that to Kittle. Those are his two favorite. Like, man, where's my out route? Against man coverage, he hits that. That's what's up. Oh, look at this. We got the man in the house, which is awesome. He says, that's me, Miguel Gomez. Congratulations, Dormalion. I'm sure I pronounced that incorrect. Everybody's being all nice and stuff, even though they're mad at you. But Miguel, congratulations, my friend. Hope you have a great time. Send me a picture or something. I'll email you. We'll figure it all out. We'll get those tickets transferred and all that fun stuff. But again, thanks again, my brother. So, man, if BA could get acclimated and go back to being himself, like, we need it. The game last year, no Debo against the Vikings. Brandon Ayuk didn't have the best game. Like, when Debo's out, Ayuk struggles. Let's just be, or if Debo's injured, Ayuk struggles. You're going against Justin Jefferson, who, you know, you wanted to be paid up there in that tier. You got to go show it. And I think it does matter whenever, I understand Brandon Ayuk's not covering Justin Jefferson or vice versa, but whenever you see a, like, those two level players playing, you want to show up. And I hope BA goes out there and silences the critics, because Trent Williams not getting any heat. Why? Because he went out there and dominated. If BA would have went out there and at least just caught those two passes that he dropped, it would have been different. And I know somebody's like, he didn't drop two. That was a pass breakup. That thing hit him point blank in the hands before Sauce was there. And Sauce, I don't think he caught it anyway. I think the ball was coming out anyway, but I don't care. The diving catch, which he called a dime from Brock Purdy, you got to do that. He even came out and said he was scared to watch tape. But, you know, as I know, tape's never as good as you think it is. Tape's never as bad as you think it is. And he said it wasn't as bad. It's just a couple things he's got to work on. So if we could get him back, that would be huge. Now, another player, Ant. Ooh, Tuitalanoa or not Tuitalanoa Hufanga? You're in charge. He's been practicing limited basis. Is it time this week, or do you wait for the divisional game next week against the Rams? What do you do with Hufanga?
I think it all depends on where he's at. You know, I mean, if the trainers have signed off on this thing and they're like, hey, he's good to go, and Hufanga feels good about it, that's one of the important parts. I know that I've seen him practicing without a knee brace. I think he's feeling pretty confident. And it's not like you're going to get a different type of field surface from week two to week three. You're not all of a sudden going to be playing on grass, but he hurt his knee on grass. I mean, that just the way it goes sometimes. It's all about the mental confidence that he has to overcome this injury. So if he feels like he's ready to roll, the 49ers think he looks good in practice and he's ready to go and there's no hiccups and the trainers sign off on it, hey, why wait a week? Just go ahead and put him out there and let's see what he can do. Because even though George Odom played pretty good, Talanoa Hufanga is going to take this defense to another level. When you have a guy on the third level that can think and operate pre-snap the way that Hufanga does, he's on kind of that Fred Warner level pre-snap. They read and see things that people don't normally see. His film work is phenomenal. So getting him out there, that's going to improve the secondary just from that aspect. Not to mention, the guy's a playmaker, and he finds the ball, and he makes things happen when he's out there. I'm ready for Hufanga whenever Hufanga is fully capable. If it's this week, it's next week. I know it's going to be here in the next couple weeks because they would have put him on or kept him on PUP if it wasn't.
See, I'm just going to be honest. This little peek behind the curtain, John Chapman's lifestyle. My favorite player is Dre Greenlaw, right? That's my number one. My favorite jersey is my Talanoa Hufanga jersey. I love that jersey. I don't know why. I just feel badass whenever I wear it. I'm packing it, and I don't know if he's going to play. But if he plays, that's my game day jersey. I'm wearing the Hufanga, right? But if he's not going to play, I don't know. Is he going to be one of the scratches? I got to get dressed early for the tailgate. I don't know what I'm going to do. I might just pack it. I might pack two jerseys to the tailgate and then decide. But I want to see him because the playmaking ability, that is what separates Hufanga. The pick sixes, the sacks, the pass breakups. George Odom was awesome. My confidence level in him is very, very high. But there's a big difference when George Odom is a role player who doesn't make mistakes versus a playmaker, a guy that shifts the balance of the game and will almost always have those one, two, or three plays a game where it's just like, wow, you're not getting that from George Odom. And that's not his fault. That's not who he was. That's not who he's ever going to be. He is a special teams player with positional upside, and there's a place for that in the NFL. I thought George Odom played well enough to be a starter in the NFL, but he's not an all-pro in the NFL, which Hufanga was his very first season as a starter. And so I'm just like, I really, really, really want Hufanga to play. I hope that he plays this week. I really, really do. So we'll kind of see what that looks like. But we'll see. Now, all right, let's transition. Let's go to some quarterback conversation. Brock Purdy was good. He's always good. number one EPA quarterback without even throwing a touchdown. I don't know how that's possible. The number one EPA quarterback, he just didn't make any bad choices. One or two kind of questionable throws, but the ball was never really put in jeopardy. What are your thoughts? It doesn't seem like Brock Purdy is the loves play action as much as other quarterbacks in Shanahan's scheme does. Seems like he likes the empty sets. What are your thoughts with Brock Purdy? He had 7 play action plays. All right. Not bad. It was as high as QBR, by the way. What are your thoughts? This empty set versus play action on passing downs. Walk me through this, coach.
I think that, you know, Kyle Shanahan loves the play action because it marries his offense together. Part of the success of the running game is what it does to the passing game through play action. And that's how you get a lot of the big time throws down the field. That's how you get some of the mistakes by the defense, because when you could run play action, those linebackers have to engage. They have to engage and come up and try to stop that run. And even on like 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, they have to respect the run the way the 49ers can run the football. Those linebackers come up, all of a sudden Juwan Jennings and Debo across the middle is something that you can take advantage of. Bigger places for him to throw, bigger windows, and that's ultimately what they're trying to do. I think with Brock Purdy, it's probably the same thing that you were getting from Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know people don't like talking about them, but Jimmy preferred the shotgun as well. The reason is when you run play action, you have your back to the defense for a little bit. So when you turn around, then you've got to be able to locate where the safety is or where the corner is in a particular look, usually the safety, and then decide what you're going to do with the football. When you're in a shotgun, everything's open. You can see everyone's movement. And so it makes the reads a little bit easier for a quarterback and keep his focus on the defense. And I think that's probably why he likes it. It's also more comfortable from what he did in college. And sometimes that's a little bit difficult to get away from. But I think the play action is where the 49ers make their money. That's the big time plays. That's hitting George Kittle for touchdowns and Debo on crossers. So I think they're still going to keep it, but I think you're right. I think Brock feels more comfortable in the shotgun, and Kyle's smart. Put your quarterback in places where he feels more comfortable and sprinkle in the things that you need to do that are going to have big play potential. So I like how Kyle handled it, and I'm hoping Brock's going to get more comfortable with play action as we move forward.
Yeah, it's just, I think Brock, and again, like this goes back to the draft where everybody's like, draft O-lineman, first, second round, O-line. This is how you make Brock better. No. That's not what Brock wants. Not that he doesn't want good O-linemen. Brock Purdy wants to see. And whenever you do that play action, you have to take your eyes off of the defense, and you got to look. That changes, and then he's got to look up. So what Brock Purdy's best at in the NFL is just, one, diagnosing coverage and recognizing where my read should be, right? So this is my read, my progression, 1, 2, 3. All right, now they're in quarters under man. Okay, this is where I should look. Here's my hots, all that. Like, that's where he excels. That's why I think he likes empty coverage, and they kept going to it. You know, the more pressure situation, the more empty sets took place last year. And I'm just like, man, but I want to stay with the play action. Like, there weren't that many plays that were play action to Jordan Mason. It was like, dude, Mason is thumping. Let's do a play action with Jordan Mason, because those linebackers have to respect it, because he's running through their faces. And we just didn't see it too often. So I'm curious to see, you know, what CMC, if he's out there, that's where the empty sets really get their big advantage, because CMC's a slot wide receiver. Like, if he was just a slot wide receiver, he'd be really good. But we'll see. I like Allen's comment, you know, Brandon, that's Brandon Ayuk's strength. Purdy has to continue to master that. I just think he feels more comfortable in the empty set, which I hate empty sets because they take away the running threat. My favorite play the entire week 1 game was when we ran it on 3rd and 2. Running plays on third down are my favorite play in all of football because it just works. It just works. Shanahan doesn't do it often, but man, when they ran on 3rd and 2, I was going wild. Everybody else around me was just like, chill. And I could tell they were like, what's wrong with this guy? I'm like, dude, 3rd and 2, run play. Oh, I'm totally in. Is there a play yet where you're just like, this is what you should do most of the time? Like, if it's 3rd and 4 and you run it, I'm in love. But also, I would go for it on 4th down. Kyle won't. But is there a type of play call, offense, defense, or whatever, where you're just like, that's my business right there?
I'm a run guy. As a former offensive lineman, former O-line coach, offensive coordinator, I loved running the football. 3rd and 3, that's a rundown for me. I mean, get them the football, especially if you get the right look. And that's one of the things that Kyle Shanahan does better than anyone in the NFL is manipulate personnel groupings to get the right look. So, yeah, you come up on third down, you've got a single back, but you've got guys like Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, and Eric Saubert that can make great blocks for you and create open lanes for your running back. And most teams are going to play on their heels a little bit on third down. They're expecting a pass. And when you give someone something that they're not expecting, I think that's the best way to go. So a breaking tendency is something Kyle Shanahan can do on third down. Running sometimes is pivotal. I mean, but it's hard. You've got Brock Purdy and you've got these weapons. And sometimes you're looking at him like, man, I could just get the ball to Brock Purdy, let him make a play. Sometimes the best situation is just turning around, giving the ball to that running back and letting him play behind your really good blockers. And I like that the 49ers will probably do that. And I hope they do it a little bit more.
Yeah, I like it. We got a question for you, Ant. 49ers throwback, one of the best out there. Really appreciate all you do for us, brother. Ant, do you think Kyle Shanahan will get you this time adjust his plan against Brian Flores? Look, not only do we seem to never win in Minnesota since 1992, we also struggle against Brian Flores. Shanahan has struggled. Brian Flores is one of one, completely different defensive coordinator than anybody else out there in the NFL. Erratic blitzes, cover zero, which they didn't do week one, which was interesting, but you're playing Daniel Jones, you don't have to. What do you think is going to be one of the approaches for Shanahan? Will he adjust anything, or is he just going to be stone cold Shanahan, just do what he does?
I think he's going to adjust some things. I think that you know, you're going to have some key insight from Brandon Staley. You know, I mean, this is one of the things that Staley's bringing, not just help to the defense, but help with Kyle understanding, you know, what a Flores is going to try to do to him. And it's a two-headed monster over there. They got Mike Pettine as well as their linebacker coach. He understands Kyle a little bit too. So Flores is one of the most unpredictable guys to determine what's going to happen. So a lot of it falls on Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, can you recognize what's coming and hit your hots? And that's going to be one of the keys in this game. Getting rid of the football when you have to. Living to fight another day. Don't take negative plays. You go back and you look at last year's game. That was the big problem for the 49ers offense, was negative plays on either first or second down, putting them behind the sticks where they couldn't convert on third. Staying ahead of the sticks with a solid run game is going to be important, but also Brock Purdy just taking what's there and moving the sticks. One key factor, or actually two key factors in this game, though, last year there was no Trent Williams. It made it a little bit easier for them. They had Danielle Hunter to help bring pressure off the edge.
That's
they had
a DJ big swing. That's
they don't have those guys, right? So, I mean, that's
had like game of his career against us.
It probably what got him money out there on the open market. And that's it. You got rid of those guys. Now you have Debo too. Now that they have to account for last year, didn't have to account for him. A little bit easier to attack this 49ers offense without Debo Samuel. The McCaffrey thing, that takes what, that's one negative, but I think it's a little bit easier with Trent. You can give help other places. Debo, they have to account for him. And Brock Purdy has seen this defense before in person. They have film to go back to. I think he's going to do a little bit better. But, yeah, I think Shanahan will change up a few things and be a little more unorthodox for Shanahan because of some of the Staley influence. And then just seeing what they did to him last year.
Yeah. And, you know, Big Papa, he says, you know, doesn't Flores blitz a lot? Yeah, he blitzes a lot. Now, he was weird last week. If you look at Brian Flores in 2023, they ran the most cover zero. That's where you have no safety help. You're bringing six, seven pressure, and everybody's manned up. They didn't run cover zero one time last week against the Giants. But again, you're playing Daniel Jones, so it's different. But they did blitz a lot. Shout out to Vikey Jerome. They blitzed 19 times. It's just five-man pressure instead of six, seven-man pressure that you're used to with Flores. So which Flores are you getting? That dude does his own rules with everything. So it's kind of hard to nail down like, oh, Shanahan's going to always Shanahan. You can adjust some things for sure. But you don't really know what you're going to get this week. And everything is kind of different for the Vikings defense. They loaded up on all new, not new. A lot of the guys he brought back, like Van Ginkle, who was with Flores down in Miami. He had the pick six in a really big game. It's all new guys. They lost. It's funny. They went from kind of like, and I said this with Wayne on the Wayne show as well, where it's kind of like the 49ers offensive line, where you have Trent Williams and just a bunch of guys. That's what they were last year with Danielle Hunter, who's unworldly. And then he just had a bunch of guys. Now I mean, they paid Greenard, who's awesome. Jihad Ward had a great week one. Van Ginkel had a great week one. And then you go and draft Dallas Turner in the first round. So, like, their whole approach to the line, it's changed dramatically. And so, yeah, it's a very different front to what the 49ers played against last year. It's a much more quality, much more depth, much more talent spread across than just having one stud. But we got our one stud back. We're going to have to see how that goes. The good news is the 49ers played against a great defensive line last week. I would take the Jets D line over the Vikings D line personally. Ant, do you agree with that assessment? You could argue with me now.
No, I think you're right. I don't think they have the same, you know, edge presence. I think that's the one concern, though, is neither one of these teams really have great edge presence. It's pretty good. I got to give credit to the Vikings. They put a lot of pressure on Daniel Jones last week. But I think that offensive line for the Giants, you know, is got some holes. I think they've got talent. I think the problem is going to be how Flores plays those guys. Because when you get, you know, guys like Van Ginkel and those guys that can drop into zones and you start bringing other guys from other places, then offensive linemen have to pick up on guys, and maybe you're a little bit more hesitant to put more guys out in routes because you need to keep George Kittle in, or you need to make sure that, you know, Jordan Mason stays in to help. And I think that's where you kind of run into some problems. How much max protect do you do? Kyle doesn't like doing that. He likes getting guys out in the routes for the most part. And So I think that's where it's interesting. I think the Vikings are not as good as last year rushing the passer for sure. No Danielle Hunter. I think that's a major factor in this game. And I think whenever you can trade in Trent and not have Danielle Hunter, that's where it is. But their secondary, you know, you got Stephon Gilmore. That might help them have a little bit of extra time to get home.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. And I do want to say, like, certain fan bases are awesome. Some of them not so much. Shout out to Agency. He says it's hard to dislike Vikings and their fans. They seem to be a cool group. Yeah, I'm with you, man. You know, the Vikings fans are pretty chill. And shout out to the Vikings fans. Shoot, Viking Jerome, in the conversation. Like, we appreciate you, man. And, you know, I was in Minnesota last year. I love the stadium. It's one of my top three stadiums in the NFL. I love the skull chant that they do. They do it too much, but it is awesome. I love the construction and how it's like that Vikings boat. It's awesome, man. Tailgating's great. Like, the city is pretty cool, except it closes on Monday. We were there last year for Monday Night Football. Every single thing was closed Monday. It was just like you couldn't do anything. But I am a big fan of the Vikings fans, and they are very, very respectful. Now, if you are going to Minnesota this week, you got to come hang out with us. And if you know somebody that is a 49ers fan that's going, screenshot this, send it to them, help us out, get them with us, the 49ers community. We're going to be at Crave Downtown Rooftop Bar, which is going to be awesome, Saturday from 2 to 6 p.m. Go get your tickets, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. You got to get your tickets there. It's the only place to get them, and we got to pay to rent out these venues. Not a cheap venue. It's kind of the coolest venue in all of Minnesota. Everybody that's from there keeps telling me this is the spot to be. I'm super pumped. And then our tailgate, which, again, we're in the purple lot, which is like right there, northwest corner of the stadium. I mean, it is the closest lot. It is incredible, the view. You're like right next to the stadium. It's really, really cool. We were there last year. We're going to be there starting at 8:30 in the morning tailgate. It's going to be an early one. This is going to sell out. You're not going to be able to buy tickets at walk-up. We limit the amount of group that we get. Get your tickets, 49ersrushroadtrip.com, premium liquor, food, drinks, all you can eat, all you can drink. And again, as always, kids get in free with the ticketed adult, but obviously no drinks for the kiddos. That's not what we do. So anyway, come check us out, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. Now, let's do this. I got a couple more questions, and then we'll turn it over to the chat, and we'll get real crazy. You brought up, what are the 49ers going to do defensively at the number three or Sam linebacker position? DFF got to start last week. I remember in my preview show, I said my biggest concern is when the Jets go 12 personnel and they run crack toss to his side. The first two plays of the game, that is exactly what they did. One to the left, DFF missed the tackle. One to the right, Fred Warner made a freak play. But it was just like, I don't know. I was at the game and I was mad because DFF missed the tackle. But then I was like, man, that's exactly what I would have done. They went right at him. I think Aaron Jones in this offensive line, if I was a Vikings fan talking trash, it would be about the offensive line. I think the Vikings have one of the three best offensive lines, and I don't think they're third. Like, I might put them up there, like, with Detroit and Philly. Like, Christian Darrisaw might be my favorite left tackle the next decade. Obviously, Trent Williams right now. But I know everybody's going to say Penei Sewell, and they're probably not wrong. And I know he plays on the right side, too. But, like, Darrisaw might be my number one pick for left tackle of the future. So let's talk two things. One, let's talk number three linebacker. And then also, man, am I wrong on Christian Darrisaw? Is he that good? I think he's that good.
He's that good. I mean, I was super high on him coming out. So this hasn't surprised me at all. He's been very consistent. He's been very good. He's nimble. He's athletic. I mean, his stance too, just the way he comes out of his stance, and it's pretty low and fun. I think he's a solid player. I think that's going to be a fun matchup when Nick Bosa goes against Christian Darrisaw, and they're going to let him go one-on-one with Nick Bosa. And let's see. I mean, you want best on best? Here it comes. This is going to be one of those showdowns that everyone should take a look at. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I know we'll see Leonard Floyd on him some too, but yeah, I want to see Bosa going against Darrisaw. I like seeing Bosa going against the best guys and winning. Because when that happens, it makes it easier for everyone else. All of a sudden, you're not doubling Javon Hargrave, and you're not doubling, you know, Malik Collins on the inside. And those guys are being able to go one-on-one with guards, which is better situations for the 49ers. So, to me, I'm hoping Bosa and Darrisaw goes Bosa's way, but it could easily go Darrisaw's way. He's really good, too. So, that's going to be a fun matchup. When it comes to DFF, you're right. They ran right at him. And that first play, he has the opportunity to make a tackle in the backfield. He plays it really well. He goes downhill. He's right where he's supposed to be. And then he takes a bad angle, and then he always misses the tackle.
He always goes behind.
Yeah, he looks like he's trying to do like one of those hawk tackles for whatever reason, like tackling from behind.
He does it in tackling drills. He does it in tackling drills too. Like, you head across, bite the ball, see what you hit, all that stuff. His head's always behind, even in tackling drills. And the linebacking coaches, they just let it go. Like, I don't think they see it as an issue, but it's just like, Johnny Holland, like, man, where's the peewee football coach? Like, get your head across. Get in front. He just doesn't do it.
Yeah, that's a problem for me for sure. I mean, get across, put your helmet on the ball, make something happen. So I think DFF, that's where my concern is. The Jets, they wanted to run a lot of 11 personnel. They wanted to keep 11 personnel out there, because that's where Aaron Rodgers feels more comfortable. That's how their team's built. They don't really have two talented tight ends. But as you start going on in this season, I mean, this is something Kevin O'Connell's willing to take advantage of, especially if he's missing a guy like Jordan Addison. Load up, let Aaron Jones run the ball. And he's had great success against the 49ers in the past. Last week, they were really good. He got 98 yards on the ground. They're a good running football team. And I worry about DFF if he's all of a sudden, if it's 12 plays, we can live with 12 plays. We know half of those are going to be pass plays. He's going to be fine. If it starts to get to 20 to 25 and all of a sudden he's playing more, I worry about him stopping the run. And if Aaron Jones gets going, then Sam Darnold's going to feel comfortable and that offense is going to start rolling, and we can't have that.
Mm-mm. Vince says, you know, D Winters, Vince said he's limited. No, he didn't practice. So D Winters is still not practicing. Him and your turn gross motto still not practicing. But yeah, Curtis Robinson, like, and again, I think Ann agrees with me. I would start Curtis Robinson over DFF personally at that number three spot, or at least rotate series, like let him get some reps, whatever. Obviously, DFF got that interception. That was a gift from Diamador Lenore. He was the right place at the right time, though. And DFF had good coverage. I'm not concerned about DFF as a coverage number three linebacker. That is his strength. I am concerned against Aaron Jones, and I don't want a Bravo defensive line. You know, our backups out there with Robert Beale Jr. and stacked with DFF. That terrifies me. It's going to keep me up at night. Rod right here says, Chapman's scared of the Vikings. I'm not scared of them, but I respect them. They have a very good defense. They have a very good O-line. I think their coach is a top seven head coach in the NFL. Obviously, their outside weapons, Aaron Jones, has always concerned me. I think that they have a very good team. Sam Darnold does not scare me at all. I bet the 49ers to cover the spread at 6. I doubled down to cover the spread. I did the alternative spread at 4.5 points whenever it dropped to 5. I always want my half point. I don't want to tie and not make my money. So I bet 49ers to cover at 5.5, 6, and 4.5 so far this week, just so you know. So I'm not scared of them, but they are a good team. I mean, they blew out and the Giants, but still beating anybody in the NFL matters. And that was at home in the Meadowlands too, right? It wasn't in Minnesota, right. Was it? Yeah, because no, they were wearing those goofy ass khaki, whatever.
So ugly.
Ugh. Yeah, they deserve to lose. That's what it is. That was not good. Not good. All right, let's get to some of these questions, comments, all that stuff. This doesn't have anything to do with Ant, but I'm going to play it. I'm repping my Texas shirt. Hugo says, Breezy should have to get the same punishment like Kittle did with the helmet. Talking about the Iowa State, Iowa. Yeah, anytime I can highlight Texas destroying Michigan, I'm going to do that. I apologize. It's just what it is. Shout out to Quinn. He believes in this Niners team. Niners will be the first undefeated team in history to win the Super Bowl. Well, I can tell you this. They are favored for every single game the rest of the season. That could change with injuries and whatever else. But if Vegas was right, then that would be the case. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe one day. The NFL's just too good. Niners got way too many rest day disadvantages. I don't think undefeated is going to happen for a long, long time for any team. And do you think we'll ever see a 17-0 Super Bowl winner?
No, because I think it's going to go to 18 here pretty soon. And then getting 18 wins in a season is hard enough, let alone you got to then finish it out. Look at the Patriots. They have the best chance, I think, of anyone. Well, with that run with Tom Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and then having Gronk, one of the best tight ends, and Randy Moss, one of the best receivers, and even a really good defense, and they couldn't get it done. I don't think it's realistic. You know, I think part of the reason the 72 Dolphins did it, 14 games, they were a good football team, but the NFL is vastly different from the 1970s. I think it's just almost impossible to get done. Maybe someone will come close. I'd love to see it, but I just don't think it's a real possibility anymore.
If any team was going to do it this year, it'd be the 49ers. Like, I obviously, Patrick Mahomes, they have to be the Super Bowl favorites. But the Chiefs every single year drop several games that are just like, what? Niners did last year as well. But shout out to permanent dumb face Eli Manning for making sure that the Patriots couldn't do it. That's what it is. Let's do this. Bye, Nick. Appreciate you, man. How long before we see Huff, Darrell Luter Jr., and Ricky Pearsall? I want you to give me the week prediction on all three.
Okay, I'm going to go Huff this week. I'm going to go confidence with Huff. I'm not 100%, but I'm leaning that way. With Darrell Luter Jr., he is buried on this depth chart. He's behind Rocky Sin. He's behind Renardo Green. He's sixth cornerback. I don't think we're going to see him very much this year, minus there being an injury, and that's good news. It gives them more time to develop, but the 49ers got a really good cornerback room with a lot of depth. And when it comes to Pearsall, week five, I think he's going to be out there the first time he's available. They're going to want to get him on the field, and they just know that he's better than some of the guys at the back end of that wide receiver room. So you're going to get Pearsall soon. You're going to get Hufanga really soon. And I think Luter Jr., we actually hope we don't see him very much this year. So he has another year to kind of get this thing together and get better, another redshirt year. I think next year he'll be ready to go and compete. He really didn't have a lot of practice time over the last couple of years, so this will be good for him.
Last year or this year, missed training camp almost both times. Got to stay healthy during camp. And, you know, Pearsall, that's been the issue. But it seemed like Pearsall going to be all right. That dude out there playing catch. He was out there throwing the freaking ball. Like, what? Anyway, I freaking love it. I just absolutely love it. Let's go to Sodio, one of my favorite commenters as always. I'm still okay with Huff and CMC taking a rest. It's the beginning of the season. We need healthy people in the second half of the season. The Niners have a different approach than almost all the other teams out there. There might be like five teams that are just like, we're focused on the playoffs. Not that this week doesn't matter, but like the Vikings are not making decisions based on January. That's not what they're doing. They got to win now. You look at across the NFC West. Good Lord. Freaking Rams are down six starters. Three of five of their offensive line are on IR or suspended. Whatever. That's a whole different conversation. But like most teams, it's do or die right now. The 49ers, that's not who they are. They're going to be in the playoffs. They have the best odds to make the playoffs. They had the best odds to make the playoffs before the season started. Now it's even more dramatic, the odds betting if they'll make the playoffs. That's just what it's going to be. So, yeah, I'm cool resting them. The division games, I want everybody back. I really do. I want all of them back. Let's do this one. Stand on it. Coach Ant, who is the best defensive player on the Vikings right now? And 49ers Jerome, or Vikings Jerome, if you're still with us, I'm curious your answer as well. And anybody can answer this in the chat. Who's the best player right now on the Vikings defense?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm going to go with the old head. You know, I'm going to go with Harrison Smith. I just think the guy finds the football. He's still so intelligent. And, you know, he just had an interception last week. This guy just knows how to get it done. And I think he's been the consistency when it comes to this defense. Puts everyone in the right places, makes the right calls and right reads. So I'm going to go with him. I think there's probably guys that are more talented at this stage in his career, but I think he's still one of the best players in that defense. So I'll go with Harrison Smith.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking too. I was like, probably Jonathan Grenard, Harrison Smith, those two. But they don't have bad players anywhere. That's the thing. Like, even their linebackers, who I don't really like, Blake Cashman, hyper athletic. You've got Pace Jr., that's their blitzing specialist. You see number zero out there and you're watching the all 22. That dude's blitzing. Whenever he's not whenever it looks like he's not, he's blitzing. Whenever he looks like he's blitzing, he's blitzing. He might as well be a defensive lineman. That's just the way Flores does his thing. And so, like, it's not a traditional 3-4. It's a 4-3, 4-2, but they use him like a 3-4 backer. It's weird, but it's worked. So, Harrison Hitman Smith, though, that dude, he does not age. How old is he? I'm curious. I'm going to look this up real quick. Oh, come on, Pro Football Focus. Don't you freeze on me now. That is not allowed. I got to go over to my Pro Football Reference. He got drafted in 2012. He's 35 years old as a safety.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. First round pick out of, listen to this. Guess who was picked after, I can't leave the show on this. Guess who was picked after Harrison Hitman Smith, 49ers fans. He went 29. Guess who went 30? I'm pissed now. A.J. Jenkins.
Oh, I was going to say, that's what I thought it was, A.J. Jenkins.
A.J. Jenkins, man. Ugh, gross. Gross, gross, gross. That's okay. That was the Andrew Luck draft. Wow. Yeah, that. Yeah, everybody just takes like, oh, I'm old all of a sudden. Bones got it. He nailed it. A.J. Jenkins, shout out to you, man. So, yeah, we'll see what it is. You would kind of take it. Whew, man, it hurts a little bit. Hurts a little bit. That's okay. But I'm so pumped about this game. And if you want more 49ers coverage, you got to go check out 49ers Cutback. That's going to do it for us today. Ant, any closing remarks, comments that you want to walk away, you want the people watching this to walk away with? Like, what is the one thing that they got to understand heading into this week?
They got to understand that it's all about the run game again. And this is going to be consistency every single week. The team that is more successful on the ground is going to win this matchup. And that's how you're going to keep defenses honest. And if, like Nick Bosa said, if you can make a team one-dimensional, that's when you can absolutely tee off on them. And that's going to be the goal in this game, stopping Aaron Jones and getting after Sam Darnold. And we know once Sam Darnold gets flustered, his play is going to be more erratic. That's going to be a key. But it has to start with stopping Aaron Jones. And for the 49ers, feed Jordan Mason the rock, get him rolling. Make Flores bring run blitzes and then take advantage of that through the passing game. And that's exactly what I expect the 49ers to do.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's Coach Ant. He's the best in the business, man. Thank you guys all very, very much. If you're coming out to Minnesota, come party with us, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. That's going to do it for us, Ant. You're the best. And everybody else, as always, stay strong, faithful.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours.
Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.